The XFL is going to be the extra fun league.
Some have called it an unprecedented television event. Others have called it a desperate ploy for ratings.
They hate me, baby. They hate me.
The XFL is accused of selling out the dark side of gratuitous violence, tawdry titillation, lousy football, and scripted low-life garbage.
Get up and get out there!
Anything McMahon touches turns to you-know-what.
This will be a blast.
An anxious nation awaits.
And as we all remember well, 20-some years ago, that did not end well. Greetings, everybody. This is Greg James, and you are listening to XFL America Radio, broadcasting from here in Japan, of all places. I am also the host of the Gridiron Japan podcast, and from the 55-yard line on the Sports History Network. And with this new podcast, with this episode, we're going to talk about, for the next half hour, we're going to talk about the XFL, where it was, where it's been, where it's going, and kind of look back and answer the question, try to at least answer the question, and more speculate probably than anything, is it going to make it this time? Now, we all remember, I don't know, a lot of people who are listening here may not even have been alive when the first XFL came out. And obviously XFL 2.0 lasted all of 5 weeks, which I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of missed because, you know, a lot can happen in 5 weeks. And for all of us, the world changed a lot in 5 weeks back in 2020. So I am here. Like I said, I'm sitting here in my studio, little studio here in Japan, and kind of looking at all the news articles that I'm reading on this new version of the XFL. And I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm kind of a critic of spring football in general. I want to see it succeed. However, with that said, being 55 years old, I've never seen it succeed. The USFL did well last year, obviously. XFL 2.0 was really doing great up until the pandemic. And so as much as I like to say, well, the XFL 2.0 failed, you know, the reality is it did not fail. It you know, call it a tie. Could it have succeeded? Yeah, I think it could have succeeded 2.0. With that said, you know, the pandemic shut everything down, and that's kind of a giant what-if question. And we all know what happened with XFL 1.0. And, you know, for those who are advocating spring football, and obviously for those of you who follow me on Twitter, whether it be at CFL America or at Great NFL Fun Book, and also at XFL America, at USFL America, got a few of them on Twitter. I think most of you who listen to this probably already kind of know my opinion towards the spring leagues. I'm all for it, but the problem is it's never worked. And so the question I have kind of going into this season, and it's been hard trying to search out the, I've not found too many people that have been kind of critical of what's going to happen this time around. Now, we do know that the third version of the XFL is completely unrelated, other than name-wise, to what has come in the past. But my questions kind of revolve around business plan. Now, we did see with the AAF and also with XFL 2.0, there were a lot of people in the stands. I mean, attendance, I don't think, was an issue. But those are the hardcore spring football fans in markets that don't have football teams. So the question is for somebody like me, who is originally from Chicago, okay, I don't have a team in the league. So why should I get excited about it? Now, with that said, the same could have been said some 60 years ago when the American Football League started, and we all know how well that did and how it forced a merger with the NFL. But that is one instance in 60 years where a league succeeded far beyond what anybody expected it to. For most of these new leagues, it ends in failure, plain and simple. Spring football is something that everybody has kind of beat their head against the wall trying to figure out. And I think that there have been enough failures at this point here in 2023 that I would hope that Redbird Capital has kind of figured it out. They've got some great ideas. They've got a lot of money behind them. I'm expecting everybody, unlike the AAF, I'm expecting everybody to get paid. There's also the template with the USFL that was successful. I am very positive about what is coming down the pike. I mean, television contracts are in place. For somebody like me who lives overseas, if you're listening to this overseas, you can watch the XFL on ESPN Plus. With that said, though, you're going to need a VPN, and VPNs are kind of tricky, especially if you're trying to watch football on a smart TV. I moved over here to Japan about 3 months ago, and it's been an education trying to get VPNs to work. I think I finally cracked that nut with, and I don't really like to do shout-outs to companies, but the one that I use is ExpressVPN. It has allowed me to watch ESPN Plus and far from home. But the vast majority of people that are listening to this are going to probably be in the United States. So watching it on ESPN, there's really, I mean, obviously, they are going to be on free over-the-air TV. I am very much a cord cutter, if possible. But the fact remains is we are in a streaming age now where if you want to watch a game, you're going to have to pay for it, other than unless it's streaming over the air in your hometown. But even then, and that's a whole nother subject, even with free over-the-air TV, that's kind of going away too. So streaming is the wave of the future. We saw with the NFL ditching DirecTV, thank God, and going to YouTube TV. The NFL, for me, has the International Game Pass. So for me, I have no other choice but to stream games, including the X League here in Japan, which if you've listened to Gridiron Japan, we talk about quite a bit, and all their games are available via streaming. So the internet is the wave of the future that I'm 55 years old, and I'm one of the old folkies now that listen to podcasts, and I'm kind of that old man shaking his fist, kind of saying, hey, get off my lawn. But I'm old enough to remember when the streaming, what we have now is even where I'm sitting at in Japan with my laptop, with my monitors, with my headphones on a wire. This was all science fiction 30 years ago. So here we are. We are getting ready to start the season. We've got games that are going to be on set that are going to be here this weekend. We've got four games. I'm not going to sit here and give you a prediction as to what I think is going to happen because, let's be honest, these are brand new teams. Anything could happen. The players, well, right now we're all rooting for Laundry because these are guys that are honestly hoping to get noticed by the NFL. Whether they do or not, I'm sure we're going to see a few breakout stars. But we've also got different cities than last time and that are playing in venues that range from big to small, and probably the smallest being where the Vipers are going to be playing out there in Vegas. From what I understand, last I saw, they're going to be playing in a minor league ballpark, which, to be honest with you, is not unusual. Baseball parks were kind of the norm back in the day, back in the 50s, 60s. I mean, back when pro football came about, that's where pro football teams played, was in baseball parks. So we'll see what the optics are. We'll see what the optics are on that during the season, though I would suspect that at some point they're going to move into a bigger stadium, hopefully where the Raiders play. But right now the optics of playing in a minor league ballpark, honestly, in a way, kind of, to me, kind of diminished the league. But with that said, the league is just starting out. And, I've been to baseball. I've been to football games in baseball parks. Not a bad way to watch a game, actually. The only drawback is you are in Las Vegas, and watching a game in the heat is not fun. But with that said, the season starts here in you know, only runs from February through the end of May. I'm sorry, through the end of April. And, you know, while Vegas is warm, it's not brutally hot like Vegas is during the summer, back when the Las Vegas Posse played there with the Canadian Football League. So now kind of moving on here in terms of just looking at everything. The one thing that I have had an issue with has been looking at trying to get some articles that are very objective about the XFL. There are several new sites out there that cover the XFL, XFL Newsroom, XFL News Hub, the Markcast, the XFL Show. I could go on and on. And they're all good sites in their own right. They're all good podcasts in their own in right. But the one thing that I've kind of noticed as I've looked at everybody is nobody's asking the critical question as to, okay, what's the business plan? How is this going to work? Where does the XFL see itself, say, 10 years down the line? Now, I know they have a working agreement with the Indoor Football League, which is great. But I have yet to see a plan other than, hey, but The Rock, which is fine. Everybody keeps saying, yeah, every time I brought this up is I don't see how everybody keeps just saying, but The Rock, which is great. You know, I mean, but my issue there is while Dwayne Johnson is very successful, he also got fired by DC Studios and Black. He made Black Adam. Black Adam was a great movie. I'm a huge DC fan, huge Captain Shazam fan. So, I mean, I love the movie, but the reality is he got fired by the DC. Black Adam failed, period. It failed despite all his proclamations and everything that, you know, he was going to revive the DCEU, which I was hoping he was going to. But what we got was kind of a mediocre mid-level comic book movie that cost a lot to make and ultimately basically kind of killed the DCEU as we know it. And you know, I had high hopes for it, but I was disappointed that he was fired, that, you know, we're not going to have Henry Cavill come back as Superman, but yet we've got the Flash movie coming out and that's going to reset everything. So we'll see with that. So that's my main thing is kind of with, you know, nobody's asking the hard questions. Nobody's saying, hey, why is this going to work this time? Because we have seen example after example after example of outdoor leagues that have utterly failed. The AAF being the probably the biggest example in most recent memory. And at times I get kind of an AAF vibe, but at the same time, I also know that there really is money behind this. Guys are going to get paid. This is not going to fail like that did, because that was a complete house of cards. XFL version 2.0, well, that was, you know, up until that point where it shut down, could be called a success. But the problem is it stopped mid-season. It didn't get all the way to the end. And just to me, there were more. It's kind of like the question, what if Bo Jackson had not got hurt? I mean, we don't know. We don't know what would have happened with Bo Jackson's career had he not got injured in that playoff game when he was with the Raiders against the Bengals. I mean, that's a giant what if. Same thing with XFL 2.0. The world has changed greatly in the last 3 years. And so, you know, the question is, I always have is, A, other than outside the Twitter sphere, is there a place for spring football? Is there really a demand for spring? Is spring football self-sustainable like the NFL is? Honestly, I don't know. The NFL tried to make spring football work back with the World League of American Football, NFL Europe. They couldn't make it work. They lost a lot of money, and the NFL, you know, pretty much prints money at this point. And so that's where I give pause to anybody who out there who says XFL 3.0 is going to be a success. Now, right out of the gate, yeah, there's going to be viewers, there's going to be people in stands, but in the long term, can this new league sustain itself? I've heard a lot of, I've seen a lot of things about, you know, it should merge with the USFL, which honestly, you know, the XFL 2.0 wanted to merge. There was talk about merging with the CFL and back way back when, and that seems like that was, you know, a decade ago almost, but it wasn't that long ago. That caused a lot of animosity between CFL fans like myself, based in America, and XFL fans. And the problem there was the XFL fans had no clue as to what the CFL was all about. And the CFL's rules and field dimensions are way different. And there was just so much out there that, hey, personally, I would have loved to have seen a merger between the two leagues. I thought, you know, hell, I saw drawings of how we can make, you know, diagrams of how we can make the fields work in the smaller stadiums in the States and, you know, kind of come to a compromise. Because I think, you know, when it comes to the CFL, CFL needs to change its ways. It is a dying league, and I'm not going to pull any punches there. I love it. I'm a huge BC Lions fan, much like Mark Reed at the Markcast. But at the same time, it is a league that has fallen way behind the times. I was in Montreal back in November, and just trying to find CFL merchandise was beyond hard. I found one hat, Montreal Alouettes hat, when I was in the old city of Montreal, but that was it. There was nothing. No marketing or anything. No, the marketing for the CFL is just outright horseshit. There is none. And it's a great league with great history. And the fact that the owners and the commissioner don't do what's in their power to promote the league is a shame. And there's a lot of great people who work for the league, who work for TSN, that I think deserve better. And, you know, now we have the XFL. And obviously the XFL and the USFL, none of these leagues are competing. And that's another thing that I keep seeing on the social media, USFL fans versus XFL fans versus CFL fans. Hey, bottom line is, and I'm a huge XFL critic, and I'm a huge spring football critic, but at the same time, you know, I do realize that, you know, we all want more football. The more football, the better. And if these leagues, which they don't compete head on, we've got the XFL for 2 months. There's a bit of an overlap with the USFL, but not much. And then we have the USFL there's a bit of an overlap with the CFL, but nobody's competing head on, much like the World Football League tried to compete head on with the NFL way back in the 70s. Another example of another league that failed spectacularly. You know, so here we are. So that my question is going into this first week is how big are the crowds going to be? I have a feeling we're going to have good crowds, and the XFL is in markets that are in kind of in southern markets. So the weather is much better than it would be in a place like when the first XFL came about, was in markets like New York and Chicago, where, let's face it, February in Chicago is horrible. So, but, and that's another whole nother issue too. When it comes to these spring leagues is weather and markets. And unless you're playing in a dome in the north in February, nobody's going to go to your games. Yeah, you're going to get the hardcore guys that want to go see football, but the way technology is nowadays, you get a better seat in front of your TV. I know for me, if given a choice between freezing my ass off in Soldier Field or sitting in my house watching the game on the 56-inch TV with all the food that I want to eat and all the amenities, I'm going to stay at home and watch the game. So who knows? Maybe the XFL is going to, you know, just stay in these southern markets and become, you know, be reliant on guys like me who just don't want to go out in cold weather and watch football up north. So I'm very interested to see how, not only how many people are sitting in the stands, but also the ratings. I imagine they're going to be much like the first XFL. they were strong in the beginning, but it's only the beginning. And where the XFL ends up at the end with ratings will be the big tell. I think it'll be around a second year. I think it'll be around a couple years. But ultimately, will people not only show up, but will they stay around for football? And using the baseball as an example, baseball is dying. So will the XFL kind of go the way of kind of fizzle out, much like seems like baseball is doing, at least in my opinion. But then again, I live, you know, prior to living here, I lived in Chicago as a Cubs fan, and you know, Wrigley Field is always crowded. But you know, when it comes to gauging the reality of sports and the fickleness of fandom, one only has to go to the South Side and watch the White Sox play when they're in contention for a pennant to see how few people actually show up. So, but you know, again, attendance is going to be, you know, an issue, but most importantly, ratings. When it comes to the product on the field, I am not worried about that, concerned about that at all. I think it's going to be a quality product. I think the football is going to be top notch, much like the AAF was, much like XFL 2.0, much like USFL was last year. The on-field product has really never worried me. After what the crap product that Vince McMahon tried to shell out back in 2001, now I'm not really too worried about that. And you've got some great coaches that are in this league. And there's money behind it. And honestly, I don't think Dwayne Johnson or the people he works with would put a crap product out there if they thought they were going to put a crap product out there, they would have delayed the start of this league another year. So I'm very positive about the league moving forward. I'm not a screamer. I'm not a rah-rah guy when it comes to the XFL, but I'm a realist. I'm an armchair historian, I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association, so I'm a bit of an armchair historian, and I know full well the difference. You know, I know what the expectations are, but I also know what the challenges that the XFL is going to face as time moves on. Can it keep up that energy that the NFL does? And the NFL, comparing the XFL to the NFL is a disservice to both leagues. But I mean, who knows? I mean, fantasy football, gambling, all these different little things that we take for granted now as NFL fans. Hopefully the XFL is going to leverage and hope that's going to sustain it. You know, help its growth, sustain its growth, and keep spring football with us for a very long time. You know, if it merges with the USFL, great. That just means more football for all of us. And, you know, and whether the XFL merges with the CFL, that's a whole nother topic of discussion. But the reality of it is it's, you know, playing football in February up in places like Manitoba and Saskatchewan. Pretty much a no-go. Just way too cold. So with all that said, hey, if you've stumbled upon this, thank you very much for listening, and you've gotten to the end here and listened to me kind of drone on. I'm not used to doing podcasts by myself. So my apologies for if this is kind of rough, maybe. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter at XFL America. I'm also at CFL America, USFL America, and great NFL fun book. If you just like football nostalgia in general, I post a lot of stuff there. Also, my email is xflamerica@gmail.com. Again, my name is Greg James. Thank you very much for listening, and we will be talking to you next week.